So the gift of discerning of spirits is for the edification of the local believers. Local believers. It has nothing to do with exposing unclean spirits in the unsaved. Nothing to do with the unsaved. God gives this particular gift to us so we can identify wrong spirits that begin to move in the brethren, especially during a gathering where people are free to move in the supernatural, in the spirit, and do things like prophesy, work miracles, produce healings, give messages in tongues, and bring forth words of wisdom and revelation knowledge. See, in Paul's day, when the local body came together, it was nothing. Nothing like we understand a, quote, church service to be in our day. Nothing. There were no pastors, as we know them. There was no clergy, lady system, no platforms, no podiums. There was no set order, no program. Nobody came week in and week out to listen to one man preach. All right, when the brethren came together, everyone, including the sisters, were free to not only participate and share, but also to move supernaturally in the gifts of spirits. Everyone was free to move in the supernatural realm, okay? Therefore, it was imperative that someone in that gathering had the gift of the discerning of spirits to safeguard that assembly when the people are moving in that kind of atmosphere. You know, wherever you find people who are open to the moving of the Spirit in a real supernatural way, you're going to find Satan's moving there as well. Matter of fact, that kind of atmosphere is the easiest place for Satan and unclean spirits to actually manifest themselves as angels of light. That's the best place for them. In a gathering like that, or in a home where the saints are open to supernatural experiences and they're used to partaking of supernatural experiences, they're used to moving in the supernatural, these spirits, they're right at home there. That's the best place I'd like to be. It's those kinds of places and situations where you have to be on guard the most because Satan tries to imitate the moving of the Holy Spirit. Now, most Christians have no idea, they have no idea how easy it is to yield to the wrong spirit in the state of a local assembly when people are gathered together and they're moving in the gifts and things like that in the supernatural. It's so easy to yield to the wrong spirit. I've been in gatherings where a person prophesied under a wrong spirit, absolutely wrong spirit, and nobody in the fellowship had any idea what was going on, nobody. They all just sat there and said amen, like a bunch of idiots. And you know why that kind of thing happens? It's because most Christians don't believe demons can move through them or speak through them, especially in a church service. That's how blind Satan has got God's people. So a religious demon made utter fools of those brethren in that assembly. Do you know that those spirits love to do things like that? They take great delight in doing stuff like that all the time. Do you know they love making fools of us? They come right into our fellowships, and they sing about Jesus, and they pray and they prophesy, and they stand behind the pulpit and preach error after error after error, because it shows just what kind of ignorant fools most of God's people are. It's a shame. I'll tell you a little story about a wonderful sister I knew personally who ended up in the deliverance ministry after being delivered of many, many demons herself. She was a Baptist. She'd been raised a Baptist. She accepted Jesus as her Savior as a little girl. And through a series of events, when she was a teenager, she started getting demons and she ended up basically possessed. By the time she was 20 or something, she was basically possessed. She was in a mental institution. She was put away. And through another set of circumstances, a man who had just received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in a Baptist church also, and his whole church came into the baptism of the Holy Spirit together, and the Lord was just beginning to lead him into deliverance. And he was introduced to this woman by somebody and asked if he could help her. And he did. And the short story is she was delivered from all those spirits over the course of 2 years. And as soon after that, she became a powerful minister herself. She remained under the covering of this guy who God used to deliver her, and remained in his church, part of his group. And after the people in that church prayed for her to be filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit, she was, and she began to prophesy in the meetings. Okay, in that kind of church that they were in there, at that time, the women were allowed to share, and they were allowed to prophesy. And about after a year of prophesying, the man who was used to deliver her and the elders of that church, they called her into a little meeting, and they showed her a list of all the prophecies she had been given over that past year. All of them. And they were divided into two columns. One column contained all the prophecies that were coming from the Holy Spirit. The other column contained the prophecies that were coming from another spirit. And she said she was crushed, but she also said she knew in her heart that she would make a decision right then that's going to affect her for many years to come. I mean, she could have yielded to the pride and the self-pity that was welling up inside of her at that point, or she could have yielded to the Spirit of God who was moving through those men who loved her and cared for her, was trying to help her recognize the way that other spirit was moving through her. And she submitted to their counsel, and after that, she began to recognize herself when that other spirit was trying to prophesy through her, and she got free of that spirit. And about that time in her life was when God began to use her to help deliver other people who were in serious bondage to demon spirits. She's gone now. She's with the Lord now. But it was a wonderful experience. And I don't share these kinds of things very often because I have no intention of casting my pearls before swine. And most of the Christians are swine. They're blind and deluded when it comes to this issue. But I'm sharing with you because I want to highlight something. I want to highlight the fact that unclean spirits can move through us in any situation, even when we're seeking to move in the Spirit of God in a worship service. All right? We can yield to the wrong spirit. Whenever you move in the supernatural, it's possible to move and yield to the wrong spirit. And that's the reason God gives people the gift of discerning their spirits. That gift is for the edification of the body. It has nothing to do with the unsaved. Nothing to do with evangelizing. It's given to help us recognize when another spirit is beginning to move through us or through someone, you know, when we begin to move in the supernatural realm. Now, most of today's Christians are simply too proud or maybe too afraid to embrace that kind of a gift because they're too proud to acknowledge the reality that unclean spirits could never move through them or speak through them, okay? That's not a possibility. They don't want to acknowledge that whole possibility, so they just deny that gift. Okay, but that gift is very important, and it's there for a reason. Now, another avenue these spirits use with regards to people to get to us are through people we don't even know. And I'm going to give you an illustration that's going to make this point clear. This won't take too long. A brother who worked for a feed mill who was asking the Lord to show him the truth regarding these spirits and what they're capable of doing had an experience that really opened his eyes to the reality of how these things can work, even through people you don't know. So I'm just going to read you his testimony as he himself wrote it, okay? This is a quote. It's a pretty long one here, too. It says, a quote, "How can the enemy use thoughts against you after God has told you to do something and you have decided to do it? Since the following incident happened, I have seen the enemy work repeatedly in situations where God has told someone to do something only to have circumstances change to keep that person from obeying. Experience speak for itself. It was revealed to a friend and my wife that we were to go to Oklahoma. Since the Lord had not indicated the purpose, I had very little interest in going because I was very carnal-minded at the time. Well, time passed and finally my wife and friend convinced me to go. We made plans and I arranged to be gone from work. Then the Lord revealed to me in the night, talking about a dream, that the enemy would try to stop me from going. He also revealed that this would occur at my place of work. As I recall the events of that week before our departure, I had no idea how the enemy would attempt to stop me. I was, as you can understand, more alert and even wondered if something was going to fall on me. I didn't know what to expect. I was operating a feed mill at a grain elevator, and there were many things that could happen in one of those places. The week started normally, but about halfway through, we started getting an unusually large, I should say overwhelming, number of orders. This sparked a concern by the manager since I was planning to leave. If he hadn't known the Lord had told me to go, he would have told me I couldn't go. I wound up in his office to talk about it, as it was apparent that we were overloaded. That kind of lets you know the picture of the situation. On top of that, about a day before I was time to leave, the person who was to replace me came and said that I couldn't go because we were too busy and he wouldn't be able to handle it. My jaw must have nearly dropped to the floor because I couldn't believe my ears. You see, this young man was a workaholic. He would go home from work and farm until 2 or 3 in the morning, day in and day out. He loved any work that was a challenge. To let you know of his capabilities, soon after his incident, at a very young age, he started managing the branch elevator in the feed mill. Normally, he'd tell you he could handle anything and was a type that would tackle anything. This was completely out of character for him. I reminded him of the time he was going to Wyoming and was worried about being away, leaving me with more responsibility. I told him not to worry about the place because I could make sure everything was done. I could handle it. As I was reminding him of this, he suddenly got this funny look on his face and told me to go ahead. He could handle it. Then he walked away. I was left standing there thinking, that was really strange. What in the world is going on? The orders kept coming in, so I decided to stay after hours and work a little harder, still wondering how the enemy would try to stop me. Then it came out. I will never forget it. While I was talking to a farmer as I was loading his pickup, he said to me, I really don't need this feed. I said, what do you mean you don't need this feed? And he indicated to me that he had enough feed to last way into the next month. He had just decided, that is, he had entertained the idea to get some more feed now because he wasn't sure what was going to happen next month. It was then that I realized the enemy was, or the spirits were putting thoughts into people's minds, which was causing them to overload me and the mill. Remembering where the Bible says Eve was beguiled in her mind, I began to understand that out of character performance and the funny look of the young man who was to replace me while I was gone. I asked the very next customer if she was getting her feed a little early. She said yes. I didn't pursue the subject any further with her. There was no reason to. With this feed mill incident, God was showing me how simply in everyday life a spirit and or the enemy can give simple thoughts to people to come against God's plan. Now, of course, Christians who are blind to the reality of the work of these spirits, they would think this guy's a nutcase. They would think his testimony is bizarre. They would say he's a charismaniac who sees demons under every rock or blames demons for everything that goes wrong in life. They would say to me, you know, come on, Daniel. Do you really expect us to believe that every time someone's business picks up unexpectedly, demons are behind it? I mean, that's the way things go in the business world. Businesses slow down, businesses pick up. My answer would be no. I don't think every time a business picks up, demons are behind it. But when something out of the ordinary happens in the business world that ends up keeping a Christian from doing God's will, from doing something he already knows is God's will, has planned on doing, then yes, it's very possible that demons are involved in that situation, and only a fool would discount such a possibility. I'm sorry if people don't like the fact that I keep calling many today's Christians fools, but it's the truth. I'm not saying that because I hate them or trying to denigrate them. The errors they are taught makes them fools. That's the way it is. Even if I could convince them that this guy's testimony is true and that spirits can work through people we don't even know like that in order to stop us from doing God's will, they would still wouldn't get it. They still would not get it because of all the doctrine that's in their brain. See? Because in the back of their minds, they'd be thinking, okay, that's true. God's always going to protect me and override all the wiles of the devil because I'm a Christian. They'll be thinking, well, you know, God loves me, and God's faithful, and I'm saved by grace, and God's sovereign, and on it goes. And so they think, you know, hey, Satan's devices, they're not ever going to really work on them. They may work on other people, but not on me. I'm different. I'm one of God's chosen ones, all right? The devil may have devices work on you and all your petty people, but not me. See, the lies God's people are taught day in and day out, everywhere you turn, puts them in a state of unreality. Spiritual unreality, religious unreality. And as a result, they walk around in arrogant pride and presumption regarding the demonic kingdom, and they go down. They get picked off. They don't know who they're dealing with. Okay, now another important avenue these spirits use with regards to people are those who are an integral part of our lives. Family, close friends, fellow believers, okay? And this is the most unpleasant aspect of the whole thing. Yeah, you know, we all know, you all guys all know that apart from many spiritual considerations here, it's very easy to come under the influence of someone in a bad way, just unnatural. All right, just unnatural. I mean, every parent here knows which kids in the neighborhood are bad for the children to play with and which kids are okay for them to play with, all right? When Johnny plays with the wrong kind of kid, he comes home manifesting things you don't want to see in him, okay? And from that time on, Johnny doesn't play that kid, right? If you can help it. You know, Paul said, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. 1 Corinthians 15:33. The writer of Proverbs said, he that walketh with the wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Proverbs 13:20. Even in the natural realm, we're easily influenced by people, the people we keep company with, okay? So we're told, admonished in the Bible, not to hang around with people who are evil and not to hang around with people who are fools. Well, how much more do you think this is the case when dealing with unclean spirits and dealing with people who are walking under unclean spirits? See, most of us live in a religious world that is so far removed from the truth, it would be comical. It would be funny if it wasn't so tragic. People walk around convinced that God's protecting them from the wiles and the devices of Satan, when in reality, he's not. All their lives are filled with Satan because they refuse to do their part. They refuse to face the truth and do the things the Lord requires of them in order to walk under his protection. And so they're deceived, yet they're walking around presuming that Satan can't touch them. And they're walking around with this arrogant attitude. And he's already found many places in their lives. He's already had many places in them to move and operate. And all the time they're saying, God's going to protect me. Satan can't touch me. Satan can't do it. I mean, it's so pathetic. It's just so frustrating and pathetic. When it comes to relationships, it's very easy, very, very easy to come under the influence of people around us. And what do you suppose happens to you when you come under the influence of a person who is walking under the influence of unclean spirits? Well, you come under the influence of those same spirits. So God has to teach us how to walk with people, the people who are close to us, the people in our lives, when they're walking under the influence of these spirits. We have to learn how to walk with them very carefully, or else you're going to come under them and walk under the same spirits they're walking under. Now, if you ever spend any time with our little group here in Pennsylvania, you'll hear us talking about coming under this spirit or coming under that spirit. What we're talking about is coming under the influence of different kinds of spirits, either directly or through other people who are walking under those spirits. You see, Satan is trying to bring us under his influence 24/7, any way he can, any way he can. And many times his most successful avenue is the people around us, because he knows we're not willing to have our relationships disrupted or ruined. All right? He knows when we're in a place where spiritually we would rather compromise and do things we know aren't of God in order to keep peace with the ones we love. And he knows that, and he knows exactly how to use that kind of situation against you and me. Believe me. So I just want to, I'm going to be winding down here a second. Let me just go through quickly some of the ways other people who are walking under the influence of other spirits, okay, especially believers, especially other believers. We can easily become under the wrong spirits of other believers and walk under those spirits when we do certain religious activities with them that constitute spiritual union, having spiritual union with them. All right, spiritual union takes place between people when they, for instance, lay hands on one another and pray for each other, or just praying together for something. That's there. You enter spiritual union with somebody who do that. Taking communion with other Christians, that you enter into spiritual union with them. Worshiping together is a form of spiritual union. Studying the Bible with somebody is a form of spiritual union. Even having dinner with somebody can be a form of spiritual union if you're having spiritual fellowship during that meal. Now, having spiritual union with other believers is good. It's a good thing if everybody's free from these spirits. All right, God, and the Spirit of God is moving, and the Spirit of God is encouraging people, and exhorting people, and strengthening people. It's a good thing. See, but if people are under these other spirits, don't know it, then when you have spiritual union with them, it's a bad thing, because you open yourself up to the very same spirits they're walking under. That's why it's, you know, a lot of interaction with a lot of other Christians can actually be harmful to you instead of helpful. And that's why, really, I personally reject the whole, you know, can't we all just get along attitude that pervades Christendom today. No, we can't all just get along. Because in order to do that, in order to all just get along, I'm going to have to open myself up to all the crazy spirits you walk under. All right? In order to get along, I'll have to pray with you and enter into spiritual union with you and all the spirits you walk under. In order to just get along, I have to listen to all your religious teachings that are coming from seducing spirits. So no, I'm sorry, I just can't get along with anybody. Okay, I got to know who I'm fellowship with before I pray with them, before I get intimate with them spiritually. I want to know what kind of people they are. I want to know where they're at spiritually. See, the attitude that says we shouldn't let our petty individual opinions or non-essential doctrinal differences separate us from one another, that's a clever deception, people. That's a clever variation that's designed to bring you under the influence of many, many spirits of different people. Okay? You go around and pray with everybody and reading the Bible with everybody and getting intimate with everybody in spirit, you're going to walk out of that whole thing with a lot of spirits talking to you. Now, just give you an example. Everybody probably experienced this one time or another. You know how it goes. One day you realize that your best friend has recently accepted some kind of strange doctrine, and they're pushing that doctrine to everybody. Right? Well, you tell your friend you disagree with that new doctrine, that new teaching, and you give your reasons why. And then your friend says, oh, that's okay. It's no big deal. You know, I love you. We're friends. There's nothing to separate over. Besides, we agree on so many other important issues. Okay, but what if that strange new doctrine came from a seducing spirit? And what if believing and propagating that strange new doctrine opened your friend up to that spirit in a really, really big way? What if you see that spirit gaining more and more control over your friend as a result of propagating that doctrine, believing so strongly? Is that a big deal or not? Is it something to separate over or not? See, a situation like that, if you, quote, agree to disagree and stay in fellowship with your friend, you're opening yourself up to the same spirit that seduced them. And in a few weeks, both of you will be walking on the influence of that same spirit. See, many times, the plea to agree, disagree, and maintain fellowship with somebody, it's a device of Satan. People don't know it. They don't know what they're doing. They have no idea what's going on because they're blind to the spiritual realm, how it works, what goes on. But it's nevertheless, it's a device of Satan to get you entwined in another spirit. Let me wind down with a couple of scriptures here. This aspect of it. Revelation 14, 1 through 5, talks about the label of Mount Zion, the overcomers, the 104,000, okay? Revelation 14. John says, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion with him 144,000, having his father's names written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as a voice of many waters, and as a voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb, and their mouth was found no guile, for they were without fault before the throne of God. Okay, now we looked at this passage several times from several different angles over the last year or so, but I'll look at it again from the standpoint of walking free from any influence of unclean spirits. He said this group of saints are virgins who have, quote, not been defiled with women. He wasn't speaking literally and carnally. He wasn't, you know, saying these people will be male virgins who have never touched a woman. The term woman is being used metaphorically. It may represent Babylon, the great whore, the harlot with all her daughters that come out of her, which includes not only the big denominational systems, but also the small ones that people out here set up. It could be reference to the flesh, or it could be representing something else. But whatever the term woman represents, the idea John was trying to get across is very clear. There's no doubt about it. That group will be utterly faithful to the Lamb. Utterly faithful to the Lamb. They will refuse to have spiritual union with anything or anyone that can defile them or make them unfit to walk with the Lamb on Mount Zion. Okay? They're going to refuse to have spiritual union with anything or anyone that can defile them or make them unfit to walk with the Lamb on Mount Zion. I just want to say, brethren, there's a heavy price to pay if you want to be one of those 144,000. If you want to be an overcomer, if you want to sit in the throne with Jesus, there's a heavy, heavy price to pay. Walking with the Lamb in the high places on Mount Zion, it isn't part of the package deal of Christianity. You don't get to walk on Mount Zion with the Lamb simply by accepting Jesus as your Savior. You don't get to walk on Mount Zion just because you've been justified and received the imputed righteousness of Jesus. You don't get to walk on Mount Zion just because you've attended a fellowship of some kind or have faithfully read the Bible your whole life. Walking on Mount Zion with the Lamb is a reward. It is a reward for those who have been fanatical about remaining pure. And we can't possibly remain pure if we're walking under the influence of unclean spirits every day. So if you want to be one of those 144,000, we'll have to ignore the demand to keep having spiritual union with other Christians regardless of what spirits they walk under. We'll have to ignore the Pied Piper when he starts singing, "Can't we all just get along?" Okay, we'll have to be able to see through this very subtle deception that says, well, look, since we're all on the same path, but just at different places on that path, it's not right to isolate ourselves from other people who are on the same path just because they're not where we're at on that path. See, people talk that kind of gibberish are deluded. I've got news for you. We're not all on the same path. My brethren who were once on my path are no longer on my path because they've been deceived, and they are now on a completely different path than the one I'm on. All right? We'll also have to get free. We'll get to the place where it no longer bothers us when we hear people say that we're Pharisees, we're the holier-than-thou types because we refuse to enter into spiritual union with anyone and everyone who calls himself a Christian. Ephesians, last verse here, Ephesians 5, 25 through 27. Ephesians 5, 25 through 27. Paul says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That is perfection, people. When Paul said Jesus is coming back for a church that is holy, without blemish, without spot, without wrinkle or any such thing, he wasn't just talking about people who will be walking free from sin, free from worldliness, and free from the flesh. He's also talking about people who will be walking free from the influence of all unclean spirits, whether it's unclean spirits to talk to them directly, unclean spirits that are in their lives, or unclean spirits in the people around them. And it says it's very easy to come under the influence of these spirits through interaction with other people who are themselves under their influence. My plea, my exhortation to everybody in this room, or anybody hears my this recording, is to ask the Lord to show you how to walk carefully with other people, how to walk carefully, how to have that walk that fine line when you're constantly watching them, you're constantly on your guard, but you can still have fellowship with them as long as they're not being used. Okay, it's a fine line to walk with people like that. And as soon as they get under another spirit, you have to be on the other side of the fence, man. And you have to be they're your enemy. And you don't have to hate them, but you have to deal with the situation as they have become your enemy. It's a hard thing to walk in. But if you want to be an overcomer, you want to overcome everything, not just most things, everything, not just some things, all right, you got to do this kind of thing and live this kind of reality. It's unpleasant, but it's the way it is. Okay, that's about it with people. I wanted to get all that in with the people. I couldn't get in last week because it's just too much. So that's the avenue of the people I wanted to basically get through tonight. Okay, how God, Satan uses people to influence us and bring us under other spirits and wrong, get us off in wrong directions, all that kind of thing. Okay, it's very subtle. It's very easy to get into that kind of thing. Very easy. Whether they're pastors, religious leaders, or people in your life, or people you don't even know. You know, it's just, this is the way the spirit world operates. Okay? Amen. So now, anybody has anything you'd like to share or add to that or whatever, feel free, please feel free to do whatever. Okay. Thanks, Bill. Nobody has anything. Okay. Thanks for coming, y'all. Appreciate it. And I guess we'll see you next week. God willing, and the river don't rise.